How Long Gone. Beautiful Tuesday here in New York City. Them jeans, what's really good?
Good question, bro, man. I am having not a beautiful Tuesday. It's not a bad Tuesday. It's fine, but it's, I don't know what's going on, but I'm good. I had a nice dinner last night with friend of the show, David Cho, and a friend of me, my wife, Carolyn. We had Korean barbecue, and there was a feature that this restaurant, I know you're not a Korean barbecue fan, because it makes everything stinky. It's all stinky, right?
So it's some of the stinkiest food available for purchase, I would say. I mean, if in Korea they give you plastic to cover up your jacket, you know, that means that the food smells too much. But that's a separate issue. Go ahead.
It is actually the exact issue I was going to talk about. The restaurant we went to, K-Team BBQ, which I guess sort of has a bit of an Olympic theme to it.
Great name. Yeah, great name.
In the K-Team, I'm like, is it North or South? They don't really say. I know that the North competes in the Olympics still, which is fun and cool, but each chair that you sit in is sort of a receptacle, and inside you mm-hmm. open the lid of your chair. Maybe you saw this in Korea, and then inside are plastic bags that you put your clothes, mm-hmm. handbags, small animals, etc., inside to protect it from the pork blood that's mystified in the air, the pink mist.
I'm putting my Birkin and little snickerdoodle under the plastic when the beef starts spraying.
No, I'm putting Birkin and my Birkin in there. I named my dog Birkin.
Of course.
Birkin.
That sounds, don't do that. That sounds really,
yeah, I'm sorry.
I just feel like that, if I have to put plastic over my clothes, I don't need to be there. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Does that also go for maybe a front row at a Gallagher show or a roller coaster that has a water feature?
There's nothing worse than you get wet on a coaster and you're sopping, walking around all day, squishy shoes. What's worse than that? It's the same thing. You leave. I mean, luckily after your Korean feast, I'm sure you just kind of, you know, you didn't have a full day ahead of you, is all I'm saying, because it was the evening. So it feels like a victimless crime.
I think I may have mentioned it before at some point on the pod, but when my brother and I used to go to Knott's Berry Farm, our mom would, we loved the water feature, right? It was like a river rafting kind of thing. And we would go there first, knock it out 3-4 times, get splashed. Get splashed than a motherfucker, and then
hey mom, just wait over there. We're running this thing back until we're kind of tired of it. So if you just want to get out your Kindle, that's fine.
She knew. She had the Kindle out. She balanced the checkbook while we were doing
that. Exactly.
but she would bring a change of clothes, and we'd leave them in the little the Knott's locker.
Yeah.
And then we would go in, towel off, put on our fresh pair of Airwalks or whatever.
Of course.
My Stussy shorts, and then
of course.
You know, off we go to enjoy the day dry, like we just got out of a tampon commercial.
That is pro. I've never been to Knott's Berry Farm. That's some West Coast. What is it? What do they call it during Halloween? Not Scary Farm?
Yeah, Not Scary Farm.
That's good.
I mean, Knott's
Berry
Farm
stuff.
Used to be a quaint, it used to be quaint, sort of frontier themed.
Yes.
Yeah, and now it's sort of like where people of Downey go to stab.
Okay, so it's turned into, it's not as quaint, it's not a pioneer town vibe where you ford the river, you know, it's like a, you get dysentery. It's not that anymore. It's now a place for the unsavory members of the Southern California population to go commit crimes. Is that what you're saying? Or do you think it's just their date spot?
It's a little bit about you. You can do crime while on a date. Some people like that.
Sure,
I have that on my Hinge profile.
Chris, are you really about it? You don't do crime on a date? What kind of pussy are you, bro?
Yeah, it says I have a standing res at Teresi, and I'm gonna steal the silverware.
Yeah, I mean it's anything you can melt down. I would nail it down if them jeans is coming over. You know what I mean?
It's no Six Flags. Of course.
Sure. I mean, that's my hometown coaster.
Well, I mean, specifically the one in LA, like I said, Knott's is where people go to stab, whereas the Six Flags in, I think it's in Santa Clarita. That's kind of where we go to do our shootings, maybe.
Oh, I see.
That's
okay.
Where one, okay. Like if you're like, we need a location, our venue fell out for when we're going to jump Little Tuner in. to the Rolling 70s. So if anyone has a backup venue, oh, you know what? We can just do it at Magic Mountain Six Flags.
Yeah, it's no problem. I mean, it's a nice public place.
There's two for ones.
My favorite thing about theme parks, and you know, we've talked about Disney adults a lot on this podcast, but how there's like secret societies on the internet that tell adults where they can drink and do drugs in places like this that won't be caught by surveillance cameras.
Oh, yeah.
And I really love that that exists. I really love that people are looking out for each other, being like, look, I know you had to spend a stack to bring your fucking two little badass kids here for the weekend, but you can smoke weed in this corner, you know, at this time, and you're going to be safe. And I think that's you know, just a nice human condition thing to see happen.
I agree. And it makes you wonder of all the celebs who buy the passes, like Kanye and Young Lean were just spotted at Disneyland together.
Yes.
And yeah, I don't think Kanye is doing any weed smoking in public or, you know, vaping or anything like that. But I think Lean will need a little moment to pull over and take a puff off the Benjamin, where Kanye is more of just like, does anyone have like a little nook where I can just kind of violently masturbate for a few minutes without getting busted?
Can I? I'm sorry. My shoes are so flat. I need to sit down. My feet are really hurting right now. Does this mean that Kanye West, who just released a great freestyle where he says that don't put J. Cole on, it make the pussy dry up, which is something we've said on this podcast for years, which makes me wonder, you know, is Kanye West listening, or is this just kind of a thought that is in the zeitgeist? I like the idea of
Mandela effect.
The Sean John tank top photo with him and Metro Boomin is unfortunately pretty iconic. And I just don't know what else to say. It's just they look hard. It's cool.
You know, I was thinking about that photo because I think we talked about it a few days ago, but I was thinking about that where Kanye, at this point in his life, like he's sort of done it all, seen it all. He's just kind of doing whatever in the world at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's doing whatever. He's definitely doing whatever. He's definitely just doing whatever. It's sick.
He's one of the most wealthy people on the planet, and he's doing much less shit. I mean, he's basically living like an unemployed actor in L.A. It's like, what do you want to do today? Dune 2 at the Grove at 2 o'clock and then grab like a late lunch, early dinner vibe. You know what I mean?
it sounds like you're calling out Al and Pauly's schedule, but Kanye's on the same schedule. The 2 o'clock movie.
I mean, those guys are busy. They're running. No, I'm basically calling out my schedule when I was a DJ / club promoter. When you wake up hungover and you're like, what do you want to do today? LOL, wouldn't it be funny if we bought a Sean John tank top and then I took a photo of it and I wore it to the club tomorrow, and then what do you want to do?
No, that's true.
Raising Cane's drive-through, we can pull up. But it was making me realize that I feel like Kanye, I feel bad for him because his profile is so high and he can't really do anything as a human being in the world without being swarmed by myriad paparazzo.
No, he can't.
And I know that he has these ideas in his mind. He's sitting around the house, you know, drinking something, smoking something, whatever, and he gets this bright idea in his mind of like, wouldn't it be funny if I wore like a Sean John tank top right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and what if I, back in the day, he would go and maybe he would search through some vintage thrift stores. He would visit a sidewalk trunk sale and maybe one of the girlies had one on the Depop, and she, you know, but and now he just texts Milo Yiannopoulos, who then texts like a captive intern, and it's like, find, like, your job today is to find a Sean John tank top in Kanye's size in a
double, you know,
husky
XL
plus size.
Double XL. He need the boxy fit on the Sean John. Boxy fit.
I need the boxy fit. I need a boyfriend cut. I need a boyfriend cut. Stat.
Do
these Katies come in a boyfriend cut?
I agree that is what he is doing.
And all that is to say, it's the thrill of the hunt is sort of gone for him. It's like me presenting Bean or Margot an expired squirrel carcass. It's just kind of like, yeah, I mean, I guess I'll eat it, but like, nothing, you know, I kind of wanted to.
That's why, I mean, look, that's why he's getting, you know, he's getting top on a boat in Venice, because he's pushing the limits, because there's nothing left, you know, there's nothing left for him to experience. He's done it all. And that's, I think that's why the clothes get uglier.
He's also giving, to be clear, he saw the t-shirt that said eat treat your girl right? Remember that one?
Yes, of course, of course, of course. Of course, yes.
That was, remember when, I mean, the internet exploded when they realized that the word eat was also inside the word treat.
Yo, people, when people started reading, it was fucking crazy, bro. They went nuts. But the song, the remix,
such a deduction.
The remix, I was listening to it at Equinox today when I was doing my ski row switches, and I gotta tell you, that shit gets me pumped up. You know, when he's firing, I still think Drake's the king for sending a marching band to fucking Magic City to make fun of Metro Boomin. That is legendary trolling. But
actually, could I get some clarification on that? How is that offensive to Metro Boomin? I mean, I know that he uses,
because in the song he says, Metro, shut your hoe ass up and go make some drums. Beep. So he's and then he posted all these clips of Drumline on his story.
Okay.
he's just having fun, bro. He's having fun.
I mean, it's one of those, like, if that was a stand-up bit, a friend of his would kind of pull him aside backstage and maybe throw him a few tags. Like, it's something there, but we're not quite there yet, Drake. But no one's gonna say no to the kid, to the six god,
because it's in context of a song with many jabs. You know what I mean? It's not the only one. You know, that's part of it. I mean, it's the only one fired at Metro Boomin, but everybody can get the smoke. We do have a guest today. Phoebe Lovett has a podcast called Deep Read, and she also has something called a public library, which is a great website with a lot of books on it. And you can click on them and it gives you all the information on the book. It's actually pretty well made and easy to use. I feel like websites like this are usually really convoluted and over-designed, but it's worth a scroll. Anyway, let's give her a jingle and have a chit chat.
Lovely.
Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch that you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that will make your taste buds swoon.
Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef design recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, I like to chop myself, or quick microwave meals that are assembled in minutes, Home Chef has you and your entire family covered for delicious meals, 30 options per week, and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. I'm keto now. Not only is it convenient, but it is also economical. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Mamma mia.
For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners, our listeners, 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/howlong. That's homechef.com/howlong for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. homechef.com/howlong. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I am forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now, or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real, with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong. We have Phoebe here, and right before I hit record, I was like, do you have any questions? And you smiled and said, oh no, I'm a regular.
I mean, as in a regular listener, obviously not a regular guest. In fact, I'm quite intrigued why now is my moment for How Long Gone. I'm not going to lie.
Mm.
Because Jason, I haven't seen you for a minute, by the way. Hi.
Hi. I haven't seen you in a minute as well. Nice to see you.
I'm sorry.
Walking the dogs.
I'm sorry that Jason looks like...
I'm sorry that I look like Kevin Federline right now.
He just got done doing some yard work, but that's just kind of what's up.
This is how I always envision you when I'm listening to the podcast. Is this...
Well, I was out doing a walk and I had a... I had a fleece jumper on.
Yeah.
And I just got so overheated and I looked at the time and I was a minute late, so I just ran in here and and here we are.
Well, at least you've got your little wife beater on. Me too.
We call it a partner respecter on the show. So let's
No, we don't. We're back to calling it.
Oh, we are.
I already like
I mean,
got
Phoebe
myself,
says
I've
it.
Already gotten myself canceled within like 3
no,
minutes.
No, don't
I shouldn't
worry.
Have said that. Sorry.
Don't worry.
We don't even call it that in England. I did that was me doing like some cultural translation because obviously I lived in America for a long time, so like it's quite fluent to me, but we call that a vest. But obviously in America, a vest is what we call a waistcoat. It's quite complicated.
Yeah, no, it's very complicated.
I thought you guys just had a better word for beating, like a wife smacker or something like that. A little more English twist flavor to it, you know?
Oh my God, I can't believe I've opened this podcast with this like domestic violence combo. Let's move on.
You can blame it on us. It's fine.
Some people call it an A shirt. Because looks like an A, and I'm like, it doesn't look enough like an A to call it.
No,
because
no one, I've never heard.
No,
that.
when people were trying to stop saying wife beater, it became partner respecter, A shirt. I mean, vest for Christ's sakes. That's
A-frame.
How far people were going. Yeah, that's how far people.
No,
were
that's
going.
Like a, no, no, that's like a parody.
Phoebe, what brand wife beater? Top five wife beaters, dead or alive? Hanes, OJ Simpson.
Well, the thing is.
G-Unit, what do you got?
I mean, I'm just wearing, I don't even know where this one is from. Hanes are the best, but you can't get Hanes in the UK. It's devastating.
Oh.
I know.
Got it.
It's devastating.
Do they have a different name for it? Like Hanesbury?
No, like there's a whole category of like that kind of really basic American sportswear cheap, but like really does the job kind of, you know, Champion, Hanes, all those brands that you can get in Amazon in the US for like $13 in 12 minutes. There's no equivalent in the UK. You can't get it shipped here. So when I go to the US, I'm back and forth somewhat, but like I always make a point of stocking up on those kind of like random basics.
You can't run down to JD Sports and grab a pair of TNs and a pack of tank tops? What the fuck is wrong with this country?
Definitely grab a pair of TNs, but there's no tank top because we don't really have like tank top culture here. It's not really a thing like in,
it's more
know,
alcoholism.
Like in New York or LA in the summer, like that's the look. You wear a vest, a tank top, or a top, or whatever Chris is claiming.
I think that if you're gonna wear a wife beater, you got to be fucking ripped to shreds. You have to look insane. Like when I see guys in the gym with a wife beater
Chris
on,
I'm here right now. Hello, I'm offended.
Well, yeah, I was like, what does this mean for I can only see your shoulders, Jason, so there could be a whole lot
I'm not fat.
The shoulders,
I'm not fat, but I'm not ripped as hell.
Never said you were.
The shoulders aren't much to look at. We ain't got Dwight Howard on the mic here, but
that is true.
You're not wearing it to Equinox at 9 a.m. so people are looking at you. That's the difference. You're using it as a utility.
Well, Chris, I would argue that anyone can wear it if they have a certain confidence, a certain je ne sais quoi, you can pull it off.
Yeah.
I feel like Phoebe agrees.
100%. And also in New York in the summer, like, it's so hot. No one gives a fuck.
Well, also, Phoebe, you and I are straight, so it's a little different.
If you can do,
in terms of like,
look, guys, if you can do
our viewpoints,
if you can do 100 pull-ups on a fucking scaffolding, that's then you can wear a tank top.
There's, there's no doubt it looks better on a toned physique, you know, a toned and tanned physique, but
yeah, this just in, clothes look better on hot people. Wow, crazy.
I mean, that didn't come out of my mouth, but yes, there's certain things, certain garments are worn slightly better by certain people. But I think in New York in the summer, that's what I love about New York in the summer, is like It's so hot that every rule goes out the window. Yeah. Like I used to be someone who's like, I don't wear shorts, you know. You can't live through a New York summer without wearing shorts. It doesn't matter what your legs look like. Everyone has got it all hanging out. And I love that about it. It's sexy.
I like some people hanging out. Other people I prefer to kind of tuck in. But that's just me. That's just me.
It doesn't surprise me that you don't want to see everyone letting it hang out from...
I love shorts. And there is a... And Jason does as well. And there definitely is that big
shorts fans.
We're a shorts family. And I think that whole line of thinking that like men shouldn't wear shorts is there's a lot of things men shouldn't do. I think shorts is the least of our worries.
Where are all these sartorial rules? men shouldn't wear shorts.
Not wearing shorts in the city.
Is that a thing?
That's like something like Tom Ford has said and people latch onto, you know, that kind of thing.
Tom Ford, Tom Brown, any Tom really. But I mean, there are rules.
I love a man in shorts.
Yeah.
There's a time and a place. It shouldn't be happening everywhere all the time.
Jason, you used to break some rules with shorts, I would say.
I used to wear shorts too much. Admittedly so, and I'm more of a pant man. But once
too many occasions, they're not for everyone.
I mean, I used to wear them in the club.
But that's California for you, like
yeah.
When I lived in LA, no offense to the LA listeners, residents. There's so many very stylish people living there, but like you kind of forget how I kind of forgot. Let me speak for myself. I forgot how to get dressed. There's a lot of hats. It was that era. I was wearing big hats. It was bad. It was
what
really
kind of
bad.
Hats but are you wearing, Phoebe?
The moment I knew it had gotten out of control, I remember a friend saying to me, oh, I just drove past you, you were getting in your car. And I realized, I was like, shit, I was really embarrassed because I realized I've fully gone out of the house with no like trousers on. Like I was going to, I think I was going to a swimming pool and I just literally just put like a shirt, but not even like a long shirt. It's like a shirt. Because you know, when you're just getting in your car,
just a shirt.
You're just getting in your car and you're like, who cares? Who fucking cares? Like, and he was like, yeah, you weren't wearing any, you know, like bottoms, pants. And,
As if you were living, as if you're living in Bali or something like that.
Yeah,
except
yeah.
you were in Echo
yeah,
Park.
Yeah, like I fully thought it was acceptable to go out on the street in like Silver Lake with literally just a shirt on and like a bikini.
Yeah, that is Cali lifestyle. Jason actually, and we've had this discussion many times. Jason has a passion for driving shirtless, and he's only able to do that when he's on the Big Island. But he thinks about it a lot, and he kind of sells that lifestyle, and this goes back to my same thinking with the wife beater. if you're gonna be fucking driving shirtless, you got to be a hot rip surfer.
You better back it up.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
You better have the goods to back it up.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, like shirtless in a convertible, or just shirtless like sweaty against the car leather. Just
Jeep
like,
Wrangler, like, Jeep Wrangler rag top is okay. What I imagine.
Ideally, a convertible. It doesn't have to, but you know, like when you're in LA, you finish a crazy hike up Griffith Park. You're on your way to tuck into an Erewhon smoothie. Your shirt, you'd wring it out. It's so wet. Take it off and you're driving down Hillhurst shirtless. I mean, it's not like everyone, you don't have clear car doors. It's just, you know, people can see your shoulders.
Yeah, true. But like none of that doesn't make sense to me. One of the best things about LA is that you don't, if you want to think about it, there's a place for you. But if you don't want to think about it, no one gives a shit. It's quite freeing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, unfortunately, that culture is now spread globally with athleisure and like no one makes an effort anymore, which is a bit of a shame. But like, I always enjoyed that about LA. I found it quite liberating to be like, you know, especially because London is such a, my friends in London are like so fashion. And I never really, I call myself fashion adjacent. Like a lot of my friends are very like fashion-y people. They look amazing. They put a lot of thought into their look. And sometimes people confuse me with them. And I'm like, no. Like I like to look okay.
Guys, stop it.
No, stop.
Don't confuse me with these fashion icons.
Look at me. But to be in my defense, I did have a baby 7 weeks ago. So we have to let me off the hook here today. But
you had a baby 7 weeks ago. You're wearing a wife beater. Jason had to walk his little dogs and he's in a wife beater as well. So same thing.
It's the same thing. Jason? Same level of responsibility.
Same vibe. We got to a great look either way.
Yeah. We look great. But yeah, so when I moved to LA, I just was like, it was kind of liberating to not have to feel like I had to put that much thought into it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
I mean,
saved a bit of time in the day.
Yeah. I mean, if you spend every day walking down the runway, it's nice to go backstage every once in a while. That's Los Angeles.
100%.
I've listened to a few episodes of your podcast in preparation, and I feel like there is an underlying feeling that you have, which is that you want to move out of London. What do you think about that?
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Does that come... Oh, that's bad. That's bad that you've listened to like...
Why?
You've probably speed listened to like maybe one or two episodes, and that's your key like takeaway. Shit. I really tried to hold it down, but clearly I'm not doing a very good job.
Hold it down.
Hold it down, hold it down, hold it down. Oh,
That's not my key takeaway. That's just one of many cards in the deck that I plan to reveal throughout this conversation, Phoebe. But
What have I been saying?
Well, we're gonna get to that. But is it fair to say that you may, you know, it sounds like you're yearning for New York, Los Angeles. You've even spoken about it a little bit on today's episode. Do you have a?
Well, first of all, I will say I'm still a proud resident of the United States of America. God bless. Okay. So let's not get it twisted for the sake of immigration.
The IRS is listening, so that's good.
Yeah, exactly. Good. But on a practical level, the thing is about me is that's been the story of my life. I just need to get over. Like everywhere I've ever lived, I'm always like, maybe I should go and live. Mm. I think there's just people in the world who always want to know what's going on over there. And alas, I am one of them. So when I wasn't in London, of course, I was always like, gagging to know what was happening in London, always wanting, I'd come back because I grew up in London. So like I'd come back and I'd be like, London's the best city. The music's the best. The fashion's the best. The people are the best. And now I'm here and I'm like, LA was kind of great. Even though the whole time I lived in LA, I was like, this is very first world problems, by the way. And I kind of vowed to myself I wouldn't talk about this because it makes me sound ridiculous, but I feel like I'm in a safe space.
Well, this podcast is only about first world problems.
That's welcome home, honey. Welcome home. Welcome home.
And also like the reason I enjoy this podcast, I do really enjoy it, by the way, is a lot of comparison of like what's good about different cities and which one we might have a marginally better life experience living in, which is, yeah.
Are you one of those people who goes somewhere like on holiday even and you're like, I could live here. Fuck it. I could live here. Okay.
No.
Okay.
I'm not delusional. I did briefly go to live in Mexico City.
Okay. I know. Okay. That's delusional. But you are.
I know.
I didn't think you were that white, but I guess you are. I guess you are.
You are a digital nomad.
I would not. Please.
Nomad. Nomadic.
Oh my goodness.
Nomadico digitales.
What did you do there? Were you just there to get some fresh tortillas or did you stay for a while?
Well, okay. So I will say that, like, I'm not going to say I was an early adopter of Mexico City because...
Oh, here we go. Yeah, no, I understand.
We have a conquistador on our hands. Let's go. Well, I first discovered it in the 1600s.
Well, that's part of the reason I didn't stay because it didn't take me long to realize, like, I am, it's very easy for me to be disparaging of all, like, I was living with a Mexican friend and we, I kind of for a while was deluding myself that I was like somehow different to all the English speaking people I'd hear on the streets everywhere I went. Mm. Then I realized I wasn't.
I'm not like the other gringos. I get it.
I was part of the problem. So I left, but I stayed there for like 7 or 8 months. To answer your original question, Chris. So aside from, I think living in Mexico City, even though it's obviously an incredible city and I love it so much, made me realize like, you kind of just like everywhere you go, you've got a different set of problems. I think it's quite delusional to think that you can move to a place that's like culturally that different to where you're living and you're just gonna, it was challenging actually. It was pretty, yeah. Of course it was.
You're not just gonna slide in and have like the exact same lifestyle.
I mean, not unless you're trying to live a really ridiculous, like truly gringo lifestyle, And I think that was my final adventure in thinking that I could just set up anywhere, and like it made me realize that okay, you can be in a city in a country that you absolutely love and you love the culture, and you can fly to an incredible beach in 2 hours from Mexico City, like it's ticking so many of my boxes, but actually to set up a life, you kind of need your people, and like that's really what's going to dictate.
Yeah.
And that made me realize quite quickly, okay, there's beautiful countries in the world that of course I'd love to visit on holiday, but I know now from that experience, I actually don't want to live in them. And that's been good for me. It's ruled a few places out because, as you can tell, like I've done a bit of experimenting, a bit of jumping around in my life. Mm-hmm. So at least now I know, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I think Neil Brennan said it, but like basically if wherever you live in the world, there's five problems.
Right.
Every country has five unique problems and you just kind of have to pick your poison. Like, this place is beautiful. It has this thing, this and this, but they jail you for being gay, or women aren't allowed to vote, or they're, you know, like this government, you know, like there's always like
definitely strike those
or smaller. Yeah. Jason, there's also weather stuff. We can take or it smaller. Down. We can take it down.
I mean, obviously, London's primary issue is the weather. Well, I don't know. It used to be. Now I'd say it's the government.
Oh, that but, look, it's fine. Look, mm-hmm. it's fine. It's fine. Brexit or whatever you guys are worried about.
We love our country. We hate our government. But that was another through line that I noticed. In addition to you wanting to leave London, you also, you know, maybe you like listening to us because you are a fellow weather stan. I feel like you discuss the weather a decent amount.
Love the weather chat.
Wow.
Love it.
A proper weather chat?
Love it.
You and Jason are a match made in heaven. This guy loves fucking weather.
I am a person who still to this day, every day, looks what the weather's like in the places I've lived.
Oh.
Not the place I live. Obviously, that's a given. I look at the weather. What's the weather like today in New York? What's the weather like today? It's unhinged.
It is.
Unhinged. My mum does it. My mum doesn't live in London. She'll text me what the weather is like in London. I'm like, I know. I'm here.
Yeah, mom. I know. I'm right here.
It's how white people bond. It's how white people bond with each other.
It really is. It's real peak. But yeah, no. Love the weather chat. Love to know, because the thing is, you can see it on the app, but you don't have a visceral sense of what it's like on the ground. You know.
Look, also, I want to say, and I don't want to attack Tim Apple or any of the great people over at the Apple Corporation, but the weather application, since Dark Sky got purchased and killed,
no,
RIP to the
no,
goat.
No, we're on AccuWeather, obviously.
I'm not
on AccuWeather.
AccuWeather.
I'm sorry. I haven't downloaded another third-party app. I thought Dark Sky was the end
is
of that.
Is that like NTS for weather?
No, Dark Sky was NTS for the weather, but sadly it got acquired.
Got a new one coming up from Dark Sky after the break.
I still every now and then find myself typing in DA to look for Dark Sky. That's really...
Yeah.
I think I've got a problem.
Yeah, no, Dark Sky was...
Dark Sky was amazing.
Great application.
And I agree with you, the Apple weather app is appalling. Well, just, so we back it.
What, I walk outside.
You got a cross-reference.
I walk outside and I'm like, well, it's fucking raining. I looked at the app. Now, and it said it wasn't raining. Now I have to go upstairs and get my umbrella. You know, it just ruins my...
Well, this is what... And then I can listen to How Long Gone and I know what's really going on. Because sometimes
Sometimes
it says it's sunny in LA and actually you guys are really complaining about it being cold, even though we all know it's not cold.
No, it's not cold. Jason gets cold. He's got thin blood.
Your blood does thin when you live in a hotter climate. Although LA at night is...
Thank you.
I think the coldest I've ever been was when I first moved to LA at night and I was like an idiot, like 24-year-old, and I didn't occur to me to like buy a space heater or a blanket or anything. So I just used to like shiver through the nights because I couldn't compute that it was so cold.
You forgot to wear pants.
Yeah, you kept your your bathing suit was on.
I was mystified.
Obviously, you learn once the sun goes down, throw a sarong on as you're sort of navigating through the Los Angeles landscape.
Desert climate. yeah, it took me a while though.
I was also wanting to know we discuss fashion on this podcast. You are a fashion adjacent girly. And you had
that's correct.
You had the host of the Cutting Room Floor podcast on. What's her name? I forgot it.
Rachel.
And you guys were both talking about how you don't think Fashion Week should exist anymore per se, or you're making some cases for it. And we've discussed it a little bit on here, haven't we, Chris?
Yeah, but I mean, why not? Who cares?
And that wraps that conversation up.
No, I just mean if brands still want to do it and spend money, who am I to set like what is the downside?
But do they want to do it?
To be fair, I don't think I ever said it shouldn't exist. I think I said I don't get it, and it strikes me as slightly absurd at this point. There is definitely a case for it to not exist on an environmental level, I suppose, but I know we've lost you. That's why I didn't want to lead with it. But there is a practical, you know, okay, if you wanted to give real legit reasons, but more so what I was saying to Rachel was just like, I kind of take in the spectacle of, and it's not Fashion Week, it's Fashion Month, and it seems to just happen on an endlessly rolling basis.
Yeah, that's true.
Now that you've got all the extra ones they squeeze in, like Copenhagen and Miami and whatever else they've got on the radar.
We're not going to slander Miami Swim Week on How Long Gone. First and foremost, that's off the table.
We'll see you in Copenhagen as well, guys. Copenhagen.
I'd rather go to Miami. I'm a big Miami head. Well, it's going a bit. Oh, weird.
I would. We all would. We all would rather go to Miami. But that's just not. You know.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. People seem to love Copenhagen, but I went and it was lovely, but I was like, I don't. Everyone I know is like, I'd live there, and I'm like, oh, I don't think I would. Personally,
they live there because the lifestyle. I believe that the like social services are so good that everybody can't believe.
Yeah,
it.
Now that you're with child, they pay you to have babies there.
Yeah, they pay you to have a kid. They like pay.
Oh no, 100%. One of my friend's sisters had a child in Denmark, and it sounded really quite a spectacular experience. And I have a friend whose partner is Norwegian, and they get like free. They get a full year's full pay. And then you get a child benefit that equates to like £300 a month till the child's 18.
I know. That's the crazy part. 18?
Wow.
Come on.
Incredible.
I can't fuck with that. I mean, at least you can leave the baby outside when you're running errands. That is nice because it's so safe.
Also, apparently they have a creche at every gym. A creche for the baby at every gym.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. I was in a gym in Copenhagen and I looked over on the mat next to me and there was just a baby laying there. And I was just like, whoa, what the fuck? What the fuck? And then I just, the mom like looked at me like, chill out, loser. Like, this is what we do here.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. I mean, we've obviously got a little bit more social infrastructure in the UK than in the US where I think there's no statutory requirement to give maternity leave in the US, which is slightly inhumane. But in the UK, it's all been stripped back. So it's not great. However, I did tell a friend recently that she asked me how much giving birth had cost me. And I said, £0. And she was like, that blew her mind.
You're joking.
My sister had twins and they were, you know, so they were like premature. And they were in the hospital for like a month or something. And she got the bill and it was
$1 million?
Yeah, it was $1 million. It's $1 million.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
The reason I know that is because a friend of mine who lives in LA told me the same thing had happened to her neighbor. And she spent 5 days in like a postpartum clinic. And when she got out, her husband said, did you enjoy that? And she was like, oh yeah, it was really nice. That, you know, and he was like, how nice was it? Was it $120,000 worth nice? Because
no,
that's how much it got billed for.
That's crazy.
Incredible.
No, I mean, I think that, but that's why, like, if I broke my arm, I would walk to the fucking hospital. I'm not going to get in the ambulance because it's going to cost.
Surely you've hooked yourself up with some nice health insurance by now, Chris.
I have health insurance thanks to my wife. I did not have health insurance until 6 months ago.
Wow.
I mean, I know it's stupid. I know it's like irresponsible and dumb. I just like refuse. I just couldn't get with the principle of it. I just couldn't. I couldn't get myself over the hump.
Well, it's wild. Like the you have to pay like what, like $1,000 a month for like the basic bitch.
Yeah, the $1,000 a month will like you're still gonna die if something happens. You know what I mean? It's like it's
you might just not die on the side of the street.
Exactly. Exactly. You're still gonna die. But
all this insurance on me, I'm still gonna die, baby.
I had a couple of like accidents when I lived in the US, and one of them I passed out in a yoga studio.
This is cool.
This is right up your street.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by booking.com. booking.yeah. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side. That's me. Or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung. The sun is out. The sun is shining. I can't wait to get to New York. Check out booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on booking.com. Booking.yeah.
How Long Gone is brought to you by Nutrafol. As you know, hair thinning is quite complicated. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and most importantly, grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair.
Go ahead, give it a tug. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth suppy, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with considerably less shedding. Thank God. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG, all one word. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists and professional stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L. I got Raf on the nut.com promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com promo code HOWLONG. Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late-night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold. I hope it was at least hot yoga, not just regular.
It was hot. It was hot.
Okay.
I came out. I had immense pain in the class. I came out. I passed out on the floor. Apparently, I was like seizing almost. So, you know, it wasn't just like heat exhaustion. It was something. Yeah. And they waited for me to come round. And then they were like, do you want us to call an ambulance? Because obviously, if I didn't have insurance and they called an ambulance, they could throw me down to bankruptcy for all they know. Like they could be putting me on a...
Yeah. Also, I think if something happens like that in public and the ambulance comes, you like have, like the police come too, and that you kind of have to get in the ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
Like they won't really let you just be like, nah, it's all good. Like I'm straight. They're like, no, we came over here. You're getting in the fucking car. It's kind of
what
the
vibe. Country?
Hey, yeah, the greatest country in the world.
And then they took me to the A&E, what's it called? ER. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my translation skills are a bit rusty. The ER, we call that A&E in the UK. I went to the hospital. They put me on a bed. I was in agony, but they couldn't. They took them 10 hours to get round to me. They wouldn't give me so much as an ibuprofen. And the guy opposite me was handcuffed to his bed. And he was just looking at me. I think I was the first woman he'd seen for a while, even in my like, you know, slightly compromised state. I had to lie on this bed in agony for 10 hours with like an inmate looking at me.
He said, this chick is in pain, but the aloe got her looking good. I don't really give a fuck.
He was like licking his lips. And I'm not saying that arrogantly, but like, so that was my experience of, and then 3-4 months later, I had another exercise related injury.
What the fuck?
I know.
Okay.
Oh, it was a bad year. You'll get this. I have to explain this to some people. You understand it. I thought it was a Smith machine, but it was just a
Yeah, just a bar.
Weighted barbell that had been racked high.
Yeah.
So I went to like squat. I was going through like a, you know, like I thought I was like a Instagram like weightlifting baddie. And I went to put it on my shoulders.
We all
because
do.
I didn't brace my...
yeah. We all do. Don't worry.
Yeah. You guys understand that mood. I put it on my shoulders and I thought it was obviously attached to the machine, like a Smith machine, and it wasn't. So I fell backwards, landed on my butt with like, I think it was 50 pounds, like, and fractured my spine.
What? You fractured your spine at the Equinox?
Fractured my spine. And then, this was literally like 4 months after the first accident. And then I had to go through the whole shit again, except this time it was really scary because they were like, I was like, am I going to be paralyzed? You know, like I thought I might be paralyzed. The first thing I did was wiggle my toes because I was like, that's it.
Terrifying.
Game over.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I've just broken my back.
Damn.
It was pretty bad.
When booty day goes wrong.
No, it really did. I can't believe I didn't sue the gym. That was a rookie mistake. I was like, come on. First thing, America, you have an accident in a public space.
That's true.
Just sue the motherfuckers.
Even though, even though it's clearly your fault, you could have sued them. That's how we operate.
100%. It doesn't need to be your fault to win in America.
Doesn't matter. Just
settle out of court.
Yeah.
Facts don't matter.
I have a follow-up question. Were you filming yourself? Were you filming this workout? Because you could make some side money as a gym fail. This is a gym. It's an epic gym fail, if you ask me.
I wish I had evidence, because then I would have supported my case to sue. The gym actually called me for weeks afterwards because I think they couldn't believe I wasn't suing them. They were like, so we're just wondering, you know, what's going on. And I was like,
Did you get the flowers we sent, Phoebe? Did you get the nuts.com package we sent over?
I regret that to this day.
Membership is on us kind of for life. It's all good if you want
to
come back.
No, the maddest thing, this is where I really had a case to sue. It wasn't even in a private, it wasn't a gym that I'd paid a membership for. It was in my friend lived in one of those bougie condo buildings down on the waterfront in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
And I'd just gone over to her apartment and just was using her gym. I'm not even sure I signed a release form.
Oh, you could have definitely. You could have put this damn baby through college if you would have used your head.
Listen, the fact that it's 6 years later and I'm still talking about it.
You're hanging on to something, and that's, I understand, but that's
pretty true. But anyway, again, I went to the hospital and they wouldn't give me so much as a paracetamol until I'd filled out. I mean, I was like shaking in pain. And then they're like trying to upsell me. That whole experience, I have to say, was... It made me, you know, question some aspects of my experience of living in the United States.
Mm-hmm. I think when stuff like that happens in New York, it feels very extreme. Like it feels really hard. It feels much harder, I feel like, than it does other places.
It was pretty wild. It was pretty wild.
It's just gnarly. Everything's gnarly. Like everything, like the guy in the hospital, everything's fucked up. Everything's gross. Everybody's mean.
Hospitals weren't cute. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
a rat runs across the floor. In NYC, baby, everything's gnarly.
Yeah.
Everything's gnarly.
Pretty rough. But anyway, I live to tell the tale.
Yeah, that's true.
I know. So you're fully healed now? You're okay? You're back on the squat rack?
I'm definitely had like 3 years of back pain issues. Still do, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, maybe I should reopen this case. I feel like I've still got one, perhaps. But no, I'm all right. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine.
Any how long gone lawyers out there? You don't you don't pay unless we win the case, okay?
Okay, I mean,
that's how, yeah.
Honestly.
There are plenty of ambulance chasers that listen to this podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand the American healthcare system. I don't think anyone does, so.
No one does.
Well, no one does.
Yeah, the NHS is great. We love those guys over there.
God bless the NHS.
Clang, 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 clang. I had a question about your podcast. Why don't you have any male guests on?
Well, I've had two. And it wasn't deliberate. It's not, but it's kind of like how you guys don't really have that many female guests. You don't have that many.
That is not true.
Well, I know I'm here, so I'm, you know, contradicting myself.
Okay. So you have 1% male guests, and I would say we're close to 50-50 male, female.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, probably it might not feel like that because we talk so much, but the reality is that yes, we do have several female guests.
As well as non-binary.
It's just because, you know, my podcast compared to yours is still somewhat in its infancy. And I just know loads of cool, interesting, smart women. And I don't know as many cool, interesting,
smart. Okay, so it's not by design.
Wow.
It's not by design.
Okay.
I just came out and said
so
it.
So you don't know any fellas that you want to chat to? That's pretty telling about you more than the male sex.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I know some cool men, but maybe not. I don't know. I am conscious of this, by the way. I am conscious of the fact that I don't have hardly any men on it. I had two very different men, and then I sort of just gave up, and I was like,
hold on, were they straight?
I don't know. Couldn't possibly comment. Didn't ask. It's not my opening question.
You don't know. I would assume
they're
both.
That's
what we ask everybody
straight,
up front.
But, you know, in this day and age, it's
no. They're probably bi. They're probably bi.
Speculating on another person's sexuality is really
fun.
You're not going to catch me out here again.
That's fun. That's what we do all the time.
No, I know, but you guys don't care. No, I still care.
Well, when we like to give a voice to a lot of male queer people. So yeah, we're happy to sort of wear that on our sleeve, whereas you might be a little more hesitant because
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't know what you're afraid of, but I want you to come out.
Yeah, the demographics of my podcast are not, they're not balanced enough. I would acknowledge that. But again, you've done like a million episodes now.
No, we've done a lot. We've done a lot. But no, I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad at all. It's no big deal. But I think the question is more like, was that on per, like, was that, is that what the show is?
It wasn't intended to be, but I do recognize now that it has ended. It's sort of skewed that way.
I think it's kind of smart, honestly. I mean, I don't think like that's that common.
Yeah. Like I said, again, I just know a lot of really like cool, interesting women who I think do interesting things and have interesting things to say. Or if I don't know them personally, they're sort of like in my extended network. And, you know, it's just easier to, not that I choose my guests based on ease of access, but when you're starting a podcast, obviously you start with like,
yeah, definitely
the people in the immediate network around you. And I would say the immediate network around me is pretty solid, high, good quality. So yeah, that's where I've started. But
and then you eventually work your way down to the men and stuff like that.
Eventually you'll get to the gutter where we reside.
Bottom of the barrel.
Do you get a lot of like Apple podcast comments of people saying, where are the fellas at? Where are the fellas at? This is bullshit. You only have women guests on this podcast. Some bullshit. Does stuff like that happen? How many times a week does that happen?
I don't think I've like hit the metrics where I have like that many people like ready to hate on
you're lucky.
Do you care though? I mean, do you have haters?
Yeah, of course.
You don't care.
That's all we have.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. It's
no, you've got fans.
Yeah. I mean, I think we have people that listen. I don't know if I would call them fans. I think that's two separate things. You know what I mean?
Well, they're like hate listening.
Yeah, for sure. Or just like they, I think everybody listens to what they listen to for different reasons. Like I only listen to like one or two podcasts. One is because it's about Hollywood and I feel like I'm learning something.
Mm.
And one is Joe Budden because it's dumb.
Right.
And I laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so you
I don't
to any podcasts.
No, but I also don't think of myself as like a fan of those shows. I think of myself as a listener. I feel like the wording kind of matters in that way, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the same thing.
What about you, Jason? Are you like lurking on some like podcasts you hate?
No, I can't. I mean, I'll hate listen to The Daily every once in a while, stuff like that, but no, I mean, not really. Like, I immediately get a podcast ick if I'm listening to someone having a conversation or it's just like so clearly awful. I will just turn it off, never go back again. And the amount of podcasts that don't give me the ick is very low, which is what makes you start your own.
Oh, yeah, no. And like so many like nasal male hosts, right?
Whoa,
like,
that's literally me.
No, neither of you guys are particularly nasal, which is why I think I've lasted so long with your podcast. Because
really?
I find it just bizarre how many like, especially American podcasts are hosted by like above average nasal voices.
Well, I think
right?
that's,
like,
I think that's
nasal.
I think that becomes kind of, not a trend is maybe the wrong word, but it's like people listen for that a little bit because that's what they're used to. Like whatever, at the beginning,
yeah,
it was like if it sounded like NPR, that's what people wanted to hear.
It was Ira Glass. People would just try to sound like Ira Glass.
And right.
I think that kind of shit continues with whatever the you know, however it works, where people just are mimicking what they think is cool.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a bigger
to put trend. It in your terms, like everyone tries to sound like Ira Glass is like our Skepta for if you don't know
exactly,
about
exactly.
that.
Yeah, they're directly, that's a perfect comparison. Yeah.
AB
really,
comp.
Ira Skepta. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of
100% in the same cultural category.
The link up, best of both worlds.
It kind of rhymes too. Give me a beat, Phoebe. Come on, give me a beat.
No, I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about with that. Like, I can't even follow it. I don't know how to.
This is just
it
a
up,
brainstorm
like.
Sesh, man. We're just in the booth vibing. That's all.
What does that even mean, Iron?
There's nothing to follow. There's nothing to follow.
There's nothing to follow. But to your point about hate listening, I don't think you can really hate listen to more than maybe one episode of a podcast because it's you can. You know, you can hate lurk someone's Instagram page or whatever, not that I stoop so low.
Oh, you've never done that. No, I know that. I know that about you. I know
never,
that
never,
about
never.
You.
But at a certain point, who's the joke on?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Like, who's the loser who's sitting there in the dark, like looking at a stranger's Instagram page? But I think when it comes to listening to, you know, like having someone in your ears is so intimate. And if like, if you find that person jarring, it really is on you if you're listening to more than like 3 minutes of that shit.
I don't want Ezra Klein living rent-free in my mind.
He's quite a good interviewer though, no?
Nah.
I don't know. Never listened to him.
I mean, all those guys are just boring. It's not like they're not good at it. It's like they're quite technically sound. And I don't mean technically from like a audio perspective, technical from like, and I've done my research. I have these thought out questions. It's just not fun to listen to. And I just don't.
Dull. But that's what, dull as dishwater.
But that's what I'm saying.
But they worked very hard on this episode.
Yeah, it's like highly produced, highly researched, but it's like so dull to listen to.
But this is what I'm saying. This is the whole, this is what I
forgot to add the seasoning.
A lot of people listen to podcasts because they're trying to like optimize their time and they want to get like smarter, quote unquote. Mm. And I think that's one of the biggest genres of podcasting is like, whether it's biohacking.
I listen to TED Talks at 1.5x.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have phases where I discovered Huberman, like it's the biggest podcast, but like I found it and I like listened to it for like 3 weeks. And then I was like, I don't care. I don't, who needs this much information about your sleep process or whatever?
But I think this is where we are as a society, where it's like, I think the optimization stuff has been fed to us that's how we have, like, you're either a person who all you talk about is digital detoxing and like unplugging,
yeah,
or you're like, I am fucking optimized, I'm using every second of my day to better myself physically and mentally. And there's podcasts for all of that stuff, you know.
I think if you're going to listen to an optimization podcast, it needs to be less than 15 minutes. Like, I'm down for like a quick hit of information, but I want it to be concise. 3 hours of like diatribe on something is way too much for me.
I agree.
And that's why I think, not to like plug my podcast, but I try and like bridge the gap between, I want some information in there, I'm trying to give a bit of cultural information, but really I'm just trying to have a chat with people. And I think at this point in podcasting, given the fact there's like millions out there, it's actually astounding for me anyway, and it sounds like for you guys as well, how few I actually enjoy listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, for sure.
The bar is low.
And that's what me and Rachel and I talked about a little bit, because she's a great interviewer, sorry. And we were sort of talking about the fact that there's not that many great interviewers out there on, you know, present company excluded. You guys do great interviews.
She asked people fucked up questions that, and it's good. Like, she'll ask, like, how much money you make kind of shit. And it's sick. Like, yeah. Or like, how did you start, like, point blank, how did you start your, like, where did you get the money to start your business? You know, which if it's a fashion podcast, like, those are the questions that aren't getting asked. You know what I mean? Like, beyond, she had like a viral thing with Mos Def and all that shit. But like, like the Todd Snyder one, she's just like, how did you, and he's like, oh yeah, I sold this thing for $2 million. I took that. And I was like, oh, that's actually the shit people want to hear. Because I don't think that like newspaper or magazine can ask those questions. That I think that's part of the reason podcasting has become so popular, is because it's so much more conversational and you get more out of people because they're not in their heads in the same way they are if they're sitting down with a reporter from the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, or the Financial Times. It's a different, it's like a different way of
talking.
Yeah, it's a different way of talking.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you could quickly tell if this person is a bozo or not when you're listening to them speak versus pre-planned questions and written answers and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only issue with the podcast. Like, you can skim read an article to see if there's any gems in it, but you can't skim listen to a podcast to get the headlines. So you either have to like commit, or you have to accept that you might miss the like gems of knowledge that are hidden in that podcast.
We talk about that all the time. That's what's so crazy. It's like the commitment is so much, like, I can read a story, even a long story, Jason, like that reservation story in the New Yorker, I can read that in 15, 20 minutes, you know, and like get it, like read it, like I, you know, get everything. Where the podcast, I mean, you got to listen for an hour, but often more, because people like to make long podcasts, but like you have to listen for a long time, you know, and it is a big commitment. But I think that's why people do it while they're doing other things, so it doesn't feel like as big of a commitment.
But again, this is why I don't understand why you'd want to listen to 3 hours on a podcast full of scientific information that you could find the headlines on in like 1 minute of Googling it.
Because he's hot. He's hot. He has tattoos. It's true. And he has a good voice.
He's tatted up. No, because it's...
I've talked about it before in the podcast where, you know, like we don't... Now that we have, you know, porn and Instagram and all these things, like we're sort of okay with the substitute version of the real thing. And we are okay with feeling smart by hearing a smart guy talk about smart things in big words for 3 hours. We feel as if we've become smarter through osmosis just by listening to smart people say big words for an extended period of time.
Absolutely.
Our culture's becoming... that sort of satisfies the brain.
Yeah, we're like very intellectually passive like people now. I don't think there's not much sort of like excavation and research going on. It's just whatever the algorithm throws at you or whatever gets fed into your ears, or, you know, there's a million variations on it. But I think that like the number of people who actually go on the hunt for sort of personally sourced information, or they try and hunt down stuff from a variety of sources, is like very small now. So you're like, well, okay, if Huberman says it must be accurate, fine, next.
Good enough for me.
100%. That's my expert.
The critical thinking has gone out the window. Let's just say something unoriginal, but it's true.
We need more excavators.
Excavator.
Phoebe, what on the last episode of your podcast, you had a guest on and you were discussing something that I wasn't exactly sure what it meant. Cyber feminism.
Yeah, you and me. But I mean, not that she didn't explain it beautifully.
You're like, I never heard of that shit neither when she brought it up. I ain't never heard of that.
I'm a feminist and I've cybered, but I don't think it means those things.
Have you ever felt in over your head? I feel like you haven't, because you don't operate from that place. But like, women have imposter syndrome, so it's much easier for them to feel in over their heads. Do you ever feel in over your head with
men
this podcast?
Also have like, imposter syndromes, and men can also be guests on podcasts, just for a future.
Right, but like, have you ever done an interview for this podcast where you've been like, shit? Because what my point being, when I spoke to Mindy,
absolutely,
I was like, this woman is much smarter than me, and I don't know if I can like fully keep up. Like, she like lectures at Yale, and
yeah, but also. So it's our jobs as people who are not Yale lecturers to sort of, you know, we can still impress them by taking their information and spitting it back to them in a more distilled way that's easier to
100%.
Absorb by a mass audience, and they need you as much as you need them. And
yeah,
you know, as long as you're not just overwhelmed like I'm a fucking idiot, then nobody wants to hear that. But you know, very smart scientific people like that are also losers and dorks, and you can make them feel
I'm
sure she's fat.
I hear your point. And I think that I was thinking about that just today, actually. Like, I think given that so many people intake information passively now, I've noticed with the work that I do that there is actually there's a craving for people who they know that they are like they're having a very like superficial media diet or information diet. It doesn't feel good. Even if you're not like a super intellect, you don't want your brain to like be running on like, you know, the intellectual equivalent of junk food. But then there's a big like barrier to entry to sort of any sort of highbrow intellectual circles or whatever. And there's a bigger role, I think, now for people who exist in the middle where they can, as you say, sort of like synthesize super smart people's information and feed it to people who maybe don't have as much time to like read or research, whatever it is. So yeah, I shouldn't be too self-flagellating, but I was struggling a little bit to keep up Mindy. She's a very smart woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that sharpens your tools, you know?
It does. It did. I was like, okay. Yeah, I was trying to do my research for that, but...
You couldn't pay me $100 to talk to somebody like that, but I understand why.
You have some super smart people on this podcast, though, no?
Yeah, but we don't have that kind of smart person.
Right.
I think we have a different kind of smart person. Like, I don't think that... I have so little interest in science and shit like that. Like, I have no interest. I hate space. I don't want to talk about any of that shit. It's boring. And...
Okay.
Even like health, like
no Huberman for you.
I find that stuff just like mind numbing. Like I have a personal trainer. If I wanted to hire a nutritionist, I'll hire a nutritionist.
Right.
Like I'm not going to listen to some guy talk. I feel like some of that stuff needs to be specific to the person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it can't all be like super general.
Yeah.
And I have no interest in stuff like that. I see why it grips people because everyone wants to improve, but I want to improve, but don't get me wrong. I need to improve in several areas. Jason lets me know all the time.
Seem like someone who's on a self-improvement mission. But what about them? What about the sort of intellectual, like cultural equivalent of that kind of information? Like, are you trying to listen to people or do you want to learn more about literature or art that you may not be up on, or
yeah, but I
not so much.
Well, no, I mean, I just think that that's what reading is for.
I've seen enough art.
Chase is shaking his head. He's like, no, you're good.
I've seen it. I've seen it all. I think there's some. I just like. I think that reading is
good on art for the rest of your life.
People just really don't like to read. It's like running. Like people just really hate it. You know, they'll do anything to not run to get cardio and read.
Shit, like there goes my career.
A lot of us suffer from attention deficit disorders, you guys, and it's getting worse every year. Hopefully TikTok is banned and that'll help a little bit. But you know, it's very easy to do something other than sitting down and quietly reading a book.
Of course, I'm not saying I'm even that good at it. Like, I do my best, but like I've gotten progressively worse as the distractions have gotten progressively stronger.
Yeah.
But I just mean there's certain topics like I can't imagine learning about art from anything but a book or a person.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just, I can't imagine that.
What about a person on TikTok?
That's my point. I mean, I guess it's better for the world that information is being disseminated in an easy to digest way.
Mm.
I just don't need to participate. You know what I mean? It's good for everyone.
But then you could definitely counter that, couldn't you? Like, is it better for the world? Like, is that sort of style of information sharing? I totally hear you, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, but you know, is it a good thing that, say, like BookTok, for example? Like, I have very mixed feelings on that. On one level, obviously it's amazing that it has, you know, it's really powerful and influential, and it's definitely got a lot of people.
It sells books.
But yeah, it sells books. trash books.
Yeah.
Airport, like.
But I think that airport trash books still put money in the publisher's pockets, which then gets distributed as they see, you know, like if there's a hit, you know, fucking beach read that they make 10 million bucks on, you know, I think that money gets spread out in a way that will trickle down eventually to something more interesting.
That'll fund the Them Jeans book advance for my future failed
any
literature.
Day now.
Yeah, exactly.
Any day now.
Exactly. But that's, I mean, publishing's a whole nother thing because no books sell, and it's like kind of widely known that no books sell unless you are in Reese Witherspoon's book club or Kaya Gerber's book club. You know, it ain't gonna move,
right?
But like,
unless you have a podcast or a pre-existing network of customers who will buy your book sight unseen.
The idea of writing like a hit novel as like a first time or whatever, and like, that's just, it's hit. It doesn't mean sales or money. Mm. It only means critical response.
Yeah,
which is cool, but like, I need some money. I you know what I mean? I like, writing a book is hard.
Fuck, absolutely, really, definitely, extremely hard.
Like, maybe the hardest thing you can do.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Chris.
No, I mean,
as a creative pursuit.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's definitely
okay. Child shitting out a book or shitting on a kid? What's harder?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Giving birth is this is not that podcast. I'll save it for Huberman.
Birthing a book or birthing a child, I should say.
Yeah.
I think the thing about writing that's weird is that it's the only creative art form where most people who do it seem to fucking hate it, you know, or find it extremely tortured. Like, you don't hear musicians saying how much they hate being in the studio, or you know, fine artists saying how much they hate painting. Like, no, they love it. They're
true.
In the zone.
Yeah, it's
whereas
true.
Every single writer, you know, myself included, is like, oh, the worst.
They love to complain about it. But I think it's also because it doesn't feel like a trend per se, but it's like widely accepted that that's how everyone feels. So I think that everyone feels more comfortable expressing that. Whereas maybe an artist...
It's so curious though, don't you? Like, why?
I agree,
I mean, I say this as someone who... Why is that? Like, why is it just that writers are like extra moany people? I don't know. I mean,
it's because writers use Twitter more. That's what it really comes down to, I think.
But right, don't you think writers have... Maybe they haven't been complaining about writing since the beginning of time, but definitely predated social media. Like, writing books about how hard it is to
how
write
hard
and
it
how
is.
You can...
Yeah, yeah, no,
oh,
sure.
Writing's so hard. Here's a book about how to do it if you really want... Like, as if anyone's forcing you to write. Like, for me, my personal conclusion I drew, even though I do still write a bit, is I used to write a lot, and I was like, maybe this is like not for me. Maybe not as my primary thing. I kind of got sick of myself finding it so like arduous, because it's clearly not odd, like, to sit in a room with your little laptop, like tapping away. It's not, you know, you're not cleaning toilets. So I kind of was like, well, I'm annoying myself. I'm going to step back from it a little bit.
Have you ever tried to alter your mind with a substance to make writing more fun, interesting, or enjoyable?
Not enough. Like, I've like briefly, you know, I've had a couple of times I've written while I'm stoned, but I'm not a big weed person, or I haven't maybe found the right strain. Like, that's what people always say to me. People smoke a lot. You just haven't found the right strain. Okay.
Well. Wow. Imagine if I invent a weed and name it. Damn.
Jason, I think after this podcast wraps up, Can you trademark a weed strain?
I hope. I don't know. We're gonna. I hope no one from Cookies is listening.
Chris is on it already.
I'm gonna bleep it. I'm gonna bleep it when I put it out, when I edit this episode.
Are
tomorrow.
You actually?
But I have been talking to some people in the marijuana space. I think it's a fun idea.
I mean, honestly, if you could like nail the like strain. I don't know anything about weed really, but if you could nail the strain of weed that really like helps a writer get in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because in answer to your question, I have tried to write stone and like, I don't know, it definitely helps with the attention. You can focus a little more. Mm. The quality for me personally mixed, but again, I didn't try many times.
You guys should try cocaine. You should get to try cocaine because it makes you talk so much that it feels like words would just fall out of you.
Really high quality words, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
The words are not great. I found that like the first time, like I started a Substack recently and I started it initially a few years ago when I took mushrooms and wrote a review of the Travis Scott cheeseburger at McDonald's. And
oh yeah, of course, your Substack.
I'm
somehow on the mailing list. I don't know how I signed up for it, but I love that data capture.
I've never added anybody to it.
Damn.
Thank you for subscribing. I do appreciate it.
Maybe I subscribe to the old one.
Yeah, it's the same one. So that, yeah, it's the same thing.
It's the same one.
Okay, all right. You didn't. Sorry. That was rude of me. I was like, how am I? I enjoyed it. I didn't unsubscribe, Jason. I was reading it.
Thank you.
I was really intrigued by your, here's another business idea for you, because I thought this sounded great. Your orange juice mix with mm-hmm. all the different blends mm-hmm. of citrus.
Why not blend?
Like, that feels like you need to be blending that and shipping it out to Erewhon and selling it for $18 a like what is it 500 mils for $18 in Erewhon.
Start get to blending.
But I think the crux of what I was trying to say is writing on drugs and editing sober, you can land on a sweet space and you can come back with a sober mind the next day and be like, that was sick, that was amazing, I would have never said that soberly, this and this are awful because I was too high, a fucked up tangent, but you know, creating and then editing is the sweet spot.
So how are you, is your Substack exclusively written while high?
No, it is not. But I try to. It's more fun.
Possible.
I mean, that way I just have more fun.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't really have time nowadays. It's a little, the schedule has become much more hectic.
But it might help you become more efficient because no writer is slower than a sober writer. That's my experience anyway.
Goddamn
right.
Welcome
to my life, baby.
I think it's probably one of the few pursuits where actually we could speed you up. What did Chris say? Sorry.
Everything sucks for me because
we're laughing because Chris is a sober writer and we're like, oh, imagine being a sober writer. Jeez.
Oh well, you've got your exercise high. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
You've got your runner's high.
Yeah, the runner's high wears off usually by noon though, and then there's kind of a lot of day left, you know, to accomplish my little task. I do be hitting the caffeine pretty hard, and that
caffeine's a hell of a drug.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's fine for me. That's fine.
You could every now and then I used to quit caffeine for 3 weeks just for the day when I reintroduced it.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you had a break from caffeine?
Never, never. And if I did, I couldn't. There's no way. It's all I have left. There's no way.
No, I'm just
Bill
saying.
Clinton
no, I'm saying only
office.
Have a break to reintroduce because that day when you first.
No, I understand. Look, I'm a drug addict. I know what you mean by like, oh, I'm gonna take some
you
time
understand
off.
How this and works.
These pills
yeah.
Are,
okay.
Yeah, I understand how it works. I'm yeah. very clear.
Every time I go to out of the country and I don't bring drugs, that's when it happens. You know,
right. Sorry, I'm a bit naive. I'm not the world's biggest drug taker, as you can probably tell. You know, me trying to explain how withdrawal works.
It's all good.
That's very not British. That's very not British of you. But you know, you
oh,
guys.
No, I know.
You guys make
oh, I know.
Doing
even
drugs
the eels and the Thames are on coke in London. Do you know about that?
No.
You know about
no,
that?
No, no.
They found, no, literally the eels in the Thames, our river.
Yeah. The River Thames.
Have traces of cocaine in their bodies.
Damn.
That's how coked up London is.
As if they needed to get more slippery, right?
That's so cool.
You know? They're just wilding out in there. But yeah, no, I'm definitely an anomaly that I haven't had a pretty severe cocaine problem at some point in my life.
You don't really strike me as like a I'm going down to the pub type chick, even in your heyday.
Oh, I love that you've read that correctly about me. I'm not a pub girl, and I think it's one of the reasons I struggle to. Well, yeah, I need to tone it down. I love London; it's an amazing city. But no, it is. It's my hometown. I'm very proud of it. It's incredible. The music scene is phenomenal, etc. But I think one of the reasons I've never really got on with it culturally is because I don't like the pub.
I think that's
you joking.
A real thing. I think that's very real.
The fuck's wrong with you?
It's an issue. It's an issue because it's really like, I respect the pub as a concept.
As a third, I respect the pub as a third space.
The third space, a public house. Okay, I don't know if you know, guys, but a pub is short for a public
house. Actual public house.
No, I was like, I love the idea that there's this like accessible communal place that isn't too expensive and everyone can go and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But for me, no.
No, I'm with you.
No.
Okay, where is your third space? A matcha shop?
The library, of course.
Oh, wow.
No, it's not. I mean, not socially. no, socially, I've struggled with that a little bit in London, I have to say, because I think it's less of a bar-y city than New York. I think in New York, there's so many like great bars where you can just go and like have a quick drink and they're open till really late. Not, you know, not to mention all the insane amount of restaurants. So in London, I'm not quite, you know, where do we go? I'm still
You're not queuing up to have a roast at the Devonshire? Come on. That, I thought, I don't understand. I thought that's what everybody did.
I mean, it kind of is what people are doing here, I guess. I guess that's what people are doing.
Have a pud at the Stratford Arms?
Yeah, that sounds...
If you're going to go and get a roast, probably that's a good place to go because there's so many mediocre roasts in London. Maybe that's a future... Substack for you, Jason, if you come back here. But like the roast is...
I'll be there in June.
They cost £27 or upwards, which is like, what, $35. And they're usually quite shit, in my opinion.
Bit shit.
Well, to be fair, roast as a concept is a bit shit. So I don't really think that...
That's all we've got, Chris. that's what we...
Cocaine and roasts.
I'm all set. I mean, I don't eat meat, so a roast ain't for me, but I just don't...
I actually had a nut roast on Sunday.
I'm all good. I ain't doing that. That's like non-alcohol.
A nut?
Yeah.
A nut roast?
A nut loaf.
Is that what it's called? A nut, probably. Nut roast? Nut loaf. What's that thing called? Like nuts. It's like nuts. It's like a
honey roasted peanut.
Yeah.
Do you mean like it's a vegan or a vegetarian
nut loaf, not nut
loaf
roast.
Made out of nuts.
Sorry,
and other things.
I'm quite sleep deprived at the moment, so forgive me. I should have said that at the top of the conversation. I've been mixing up my words recently. Nut loaf roast.
A cheeky bit of vegan gravy.
Yeah, it was. I'm not even.
No
vegan,
one wants that. No one wants.
No,
cheeky
I'm not even vegan,
vegan
as well. Like I really played myself. My boyfriend got a lamb shank. That was a much better move. March.
Hey, babe. Babe, can I have a bite?
Oh, that was literally me. That was literally me.
He went for the lamb and clam surf and turf.
He did the lamb, move. Which was a
classic British
way
dish.
Better move. And then I was just over there with my gloopy nut loaf roast.
Gloopy nut. On that note, Phoebe, thanks for joining us on How Long Gone.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's a pleasure. It's good to see behind the scenes.
Yeah. I've learned a lot about cyber feminism. Thanks to you. Mm-hmm.
You have to speak to Mindy for that. But yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
I will.
Enjoy it. I hope the weather's nice wherever you are today.
You can listen to Deep Read wherever you listen to podcasts. And the public-library.online is the website.
Thanks, Chris.
Go click and surf. Of course, my pleasure.
That's a cool URL.
It's a very cool URL.
And congrats on the baby.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you.
Congrats on the baby.
Yeah. Thank
Congrats
you.
Congrats on the baby.
All right. Have a good day.
Don't sound so excited. All right.
Bye, guys.
You want to give a shout out to your baby?
Bye, guys.
Bye. We'll see you later.
Lighters.